Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Alex Doherty from the Tennessean coming up at 7:15, get his thoughts on the Predators, the signing of Nick Perbix yesterday, where their roster currently stands, and some comments from Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette as well. Got some thoughts to get to on the text line, so let's go ahead and do that. We have somebody that's attached a picture of Joe yawning that says that Joe looks thrilled about the Trotz move, so it's always good. We appreciate that when people snipe a picture of Joe on the YouTube feed as well.
I'm missing this. Oh, it's on the YouTube feed?
No. It's on the text line. Brady on the text line is sending a nice picture of you yawning.
I actually did see the replay of me yawning, or like the delayed of me yawning. It's supposed to cut off before I do stuff like yawn and, you know, tend to my gout and things like that.
It was in the middle of the segment, wasn't it? You were just bored with what I was saying.
Is that right?
I don't know. Quicker on the stream trigger there for you.
Yeah, he's taking shots.
Oh, is that you?
Shots at Ian over there. He thinks it just automatically cuts off.
I guess. Well, you know, you got to do one, then you got to roll over, you got to do the other, you know.
Maybe Ian, I'll adjust accordingly. Ian, maybe he should hold his yawn in until he's ready to get off the air.
Sometimes I have to turn your mic off for you, pull a PK, something like that.
I mean, there's a lot going on over
there
here.
Is. All right. I'm sorry. I still can't see this. It's probably good, though, but I'm sure Big Joe will get a hold of it.
Nate on the text line says, if there's a bright side to all this, it's most of the forwards are going to be young guys like Trotz wants. Brunette can't put him in the doghouse for making mistakes. My biggest thing with Brunette has been benching young guys for making mistakes with veterans making similar/same mistakes. Now, a couple things on that. I mean, again, look at the roster. I don't think it's going to be majority young guys, right? Like, there's still Forsberg and O'Reilly and Stamkos. They brought in Holla. There's Marchessault. Like, there's Bunting. They've got a lot of veteran forwards that are still there.
These aren't the baby prince.
You know, McCarron's not a young guy. You know, Cole Smith's not a young guy. Anyways, most of their forwards are older players. Most of their defensemen right now are, I mean, they're not all ancient, but there's some good-sized, some defensemen that have played some good amount of hockey.
Right.
In the NHL. That
you might
there.
Get Matt Mullendyke.
You might get Mullendyke. You might not. We'll see.
You might have Kemmel with Evangelista with Svechkov
right.
this year.
And, you know, Evangelista, I guess he's a young guy.
I'd still call him young, right?
This is his fourth year.
Right.
So, like, it's not totally the young guy thing anymore with him. Anyway, it's a big year for him. And, by the way, I mean, it was kind of an update on him yesterday. They're still talking. It sounds like Trotz is trying to land more of a longer-term deal with Luke Evangelista, and probably trying to extend out that lower AAV a little bit longer. And the agent, it sounds like, is not on board with that to this point. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I wouldn't worry about it. He's a restricted free agent. He's going to get signed at some point.
Yeah, they'll work that out.
They'll work that
He's got to have a
– He's got to have a huge year.
Much better year.
He's got to have a huge
year. Like a lot of people, but yeah.
So the other part of that is, again, as I responded to Nate, you're not going to find a team in the NHL that does not treat veteran forwards, veteran players differently than young players, particularly star players when you're talking about Stamkos and Marchessault. So I get it. Like, everybody wants, you know, Jonathan Marchessault to have the same set of rules to him as, you know, Fedor Svechkov did last year, and it just doesn't work that way. Like, you're not going to find it. Right or wrong, veteran players, particularly star veteran players in the league, have more rope with the coaching staff. It's the way it is in the NHL. It's the way it is in most sports, actually.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I think I look at it more than like the Brunette side of it. I think it's more the philosophical from Trotz down. And going back, you know, how many times did we ask David Poile about Tomasino, for example?
Yeah.
And it was like, well, I guess we get it now at some point. But I mean, I think it's more that, and that's where the Martin thing is interesting. Like, you know, you brought up a great example of how it's not like across the board with him, but he talks overcooking so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's going to be really interesting, particularly on Martin, is do they feel like he's like too good to go back to junior? I don't know. Like, it's because this is another reason why I hate this rule. Because I think Martin would be a perfect example of just go stick him in the AHL and see how he does for 3 months.
Yeah, you'd,
and then if he's ready
really
to play,
have a picture of what you have.
And then if he's ready to play, bring him up. But like going back to junior, and again, it's not like he went out in junior last year and put up 150 points. You know, we get caught looking strictly at point total a little bit too much.
Which I think Ethan from Lawrenceburg may be doing a little bit here.
There's a lot of looking at point totals going on out there. Which, by the way, was good. It's not like he didn't have a good point total. I think he had 72 or whatever it was. So, like, he's a good offensive player. I'm not going to go overboard with it, but there are other elements to his game that I think could make him NHL ready a little sooner. We'll see what happens on that front.
And then, you know, you get into – and part of the overcooking philosophy, I think, is sometimes you bring up that there is the public aspect of being with the Preds.
Yep.
And so then if you are good enough to contribute, to be on the team, you can handle it physically, but you're not producing at the level that a top five pick produces early, then that becomes hard publicly.
I brought up earlier Andrew Brunette speaking yesterday, and I asked him about, you know, taking some time away and looking to make some adjustments heading into this year and how that process is going. Here's what Andrew Brunette had to say on that front yesterday.
Well, we're just kind of in the process right now. That's what this week's about with the coaching staff. Obviously, we made a change. We got Luke Richardson in, and we're just kind of going through the year a little bit. I think you take a step away, and I think a lot of times you take a step away, it wasn't as bad as you really thought, and it wasn't probably as good as it wasn't as good as you thought other years were. So you're trying to improve, and self-improvement, I think this last month as a coach, and starting this week, we're how can we improve as a group systematically? Obviously, we're waiting to see what our personnel is before we dive right in, and obviously with the length back there that we added, we'll see if we can change a few things and get better in a few areas.
So that sounds like a total nothing burger. There was something he said in the middle there that is interesting to me, and it's kind of when you put two and two together, like, he talked about, I think he called it self-improvement, and he said the last month he's been working on that as a coach. Barry Trotz with Stilley last week basically said that he gave Andrew Brunette like some projects over the summer to work on as a coach. So that, at a future date, we'll be interested to see like what exactly was that? What exactly did he have you work on? But it was interesting he brought that up of like the last month there had been things that I've been working on to try to improve as a coach, and now that we're back in the fold and the roster's coming together, it's about diving in tactically and seeing where you can adjust there. But it seems pretty clear when you add all these things together that Barry Trotz had some things individually as a coach, be that messaging, be that whatever, that he wanted Andrew Brunette to work on, and that apparently he's been doing that for the last month. What do you make of that?
Trust falls?
I don't know about trust falls.
Camp? Some kind of a camp?
I don't know. Trotz used the word projects with Stilley last week. I don't know what that means.
Like word teasers?
I don't know.
Rubik's Cube?
I gotta know.
I'm going to ask tomorrow.
I don't know. I mean, it would probably be worth bringing up tomorrow. Like, what exactly have you been kind of working on the last month?
Origami?
Hey, origami's pretty fun.
Like making a pterodactyl? Like he said, he's going through the year, so obviously they're going through the film of last year.
Right, and that's more this week.
A traditional self-scouting thing. And right.
Hey, look, I put some of that out there yesterday, and some of the response I got back was, you mean to tell me they haven't worked on adjustments yet? I was like, well, when you really think about it, it does make sense to actually know what your roster is going to be for the most part before you just start diving into everything systematically, because – like, if you go sign three people in free agency like they did last year that totally changed the equation, you probably ought to have a plan for that.
Right. So Brunette's back in. He's like, so how's that center?
Oh, boy.
How'd Barry help me out at center? Hey, okay. But I'll work on some projects for you. Hey, here's a project. Get me a center.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I think Rex Rhodes a little fired up at Trotsky this morning.
Get my binoculars. Here's my project. I'm looking for a center somewhere in the world.
Does Preparation H help find centermen? Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will join us next. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Rex Road has just lost total composure throughout the break.
So many projects. I'm sorry.
Barry, I need a centerman. Stat.
Let's get our knapsacks, hop some trains, and go find a centerman, Barry.
Good gracious. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Alex Doherty from the Tennessee, who does an outstanding job covering the Predators. Alex, good morning. How are you?
Don't make us laugh.
I'm doing great. Wow, it sounds like I've missed a whole lot this morning already.
Oh, boy. I don't even know where to start. Good gracious.
Well, actually, I would like to know what the projects are, Alex, if you could tell us.
We'll see what happens there. You know, Andrew Burnett, as you know, spoke yesterday, and he talked about how the last month has been about, self-improvement as a coach. And, Barry Trotz said on Stilley's show last week that he had given Andrew Burnett some projects to kind of work on over the summer. So Rex Road is very curious to know what those projects are.
Well, what's interesting is, I think the most interesting takeaway from that whole, from everything yesterday, it sounds like the project that Barry Trotz gave Bruno is you're going to have to win without any good centers. So figure it out. He basically said that, if you remember. I asked him, okay, I listed off the four centers, right?
That's who they've got. So that's right. Those are the guys.
Confirmed those are the four guys. And then basically said, there's different ways to win. You're just going to have to adjust and have commitment from the whole group. And pretty interesting that Trotz was just like, if you look at it on paper, you're right. It's not a very deep center group. There's no question. And then he even alluded to, when he was a coach, how do you win with that? I did that for years. I won with a team commitment to defense and all that stuff. I think he said something like some of the lineups I had in those early years weren't very good, and we did pretty good. And I remember thinking, Barry, I don't know how you remember 1998 through 2002 or 2003, but it was not very good. There were a lot of bad years in there. I mean, eventually it got better, but it's like that meme, like we're all trying to find the guy who did this, it feels like this center situation is like, Barry couldn't find one, couldn't get one. He said, I can't get one overnight or anything. And then it's just like, we can't do it. You're just going to have to win other ways. You're just going to have to win with a gigantic defense, and you're going to have to just get your wingers to score even more goals and put even more pressure on, 34, 35-year-old Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault and Luke Evangelista and Philip Forsberg. You're going to have those guys do even more. It was just a very honest take from Barry Trotz, and then we'll see how Bruno plays it. But I think he's a coach. He's gonna just do what he can to figure it out. But it will be unfortunate if, let's say, 2 months into the season, it's not going well, and Andrew Burnett takes the fall for what is essentially a bad setup. I mean, another bad setup, especially up the middle, with a center group that is just not equipped to win a lot of games in the NHL, and a defensive group that doesn't score, but will do its best to try to hurt the other team a lot. It's just the strategy is very clear. He's at least being clear about the strategy, maybe more so than he was all of last year, but it really is questionable whether this is going to work or not.
You're not painting a beautiful picture this morning, Alex. Let me ask. No, but I mean, I agree with everything you said. But on the decor, obviously a couple additions here. I think everyone liked the most recent one. There's a lot of questioning about Haig. They are bigger. There's the Saros question, which Trotz, felt like he took a little bit of unfair flack, I guess, last year. But based on how it looks now back there, I mean, can you see a significant improvement there? And if so, what can that mean for others?
Well, I like the Perbix signing, Nick Perbix. I remember targeting him. I remember thinking about him as an option, as a right-handed shot option that would be relatively cheap. I think he's pretty good. I don't think he's going to be some revelation and go out and just transform everything, but I think he's a good option and still pretty young. And I like the contract. You know, the Hague signing, you know, it still doesn't make a lot of sense. And then even yesterday, I think Barry said that he could see Bruno going with Nick Hague and Roman Josi. I mean, that is not a pairing that I would think works. I think Nick Hague needs to be a third pairing guy. But they're paying a lot of money. I mean, so he's going to get a lot of minutes. I mean, he did have a couple of years ago with Vegas that he played, you know, 18, 19 minutes a night, something like that. Sort of a second pairing level, but is that guy going to play 22 minutes a night playing with Roman Josi? I can't see that. I mean, that seems like it would be a lot for that guy to take on, even as a younger player. So is the defense going to be better? I mean, I know Barry said that he got tired of seeing his defense pushed into the net, and that was related to what he was saying about Saros. Like, well, half the time the defense is pushed into UC Saros, so he couldn't play goal back there, but And I do understand, like he was saying, at the end of last year, it was Brady Shea, and it was a bunch of waiver wire pickups and AHL defensemen. That doesn't sound like – it sounds like he's really locked up and made sure that won't happen again. I just think that he is really overplaying the balance of big and skilled. I think he's really gone – heavy the other way. You know, for a little while there, the Predators had a lot of smaller defensemen, right? Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier, just a couple. I mean, Roman Josi is not like huge. He's not small, but, and then now they kind of have swung the other way. They don't have, I asked them about, you know, the fact that a lot of the really skilled defensemen in this league, like Quinn Hughes, are pretty small guys. And he's like, well, you need a balance. Well, I just don't think they have much of a balance now. They have a lot of big guys. They got 6'6", 6'4", 6'2", 6'3". Big guys back there that are not fleet of foot. I don't think that's where the NHL is going. I don't think that you can win with a lineup of mammoth dudes back there that just push everyone around. You've got to do stuff with the puck. You got to get the puck up the ice. You got to play. You're going to have to skate the puck up the ice sometimes. You can't always just pass it up. So that, to me, I'm a little skeptical that the defense is going to work, and I'm even more skeptical about the center lineup that seems to be a little slim. Now I will say, you know, we can talk about Brady Martin, obviously, but that's the one piece of possible hope, right? Brady Martin, if he plays, but we'll see.
Well, let's talk about that. So Brady Martin taking fifth overall, and Trotz was, you know, very complimentary in the immediate aftermath of the draft of Brady Martin, as you expect him to be. But I asked him yesterday about, like, how realistic is it that he makes the team? How much of an open mind does Trotz have on that? And, you know, he basically talked about, you know, nothing would surprise him with Brady Martin. He rises to the occasion. He's going to have an opportunity in camp. So what do you make of that? And with where they're at centerman right now, do you think there's a realistic shot that Brady Martin as an 18-year-old is going to play for them this year?
You know, I think that there's a better chance than maybe people think. Now we still have to see him in like live games. We've seen him a couple times this week and just in drills and stuff. I'm really looking forward to seeing him today in like this 3-on-3 tournament they're going to do. And then also in the Future Stars, because if he doesn't come away as the clear best player on the ice in the 3-on-3 and in the Future Stars game, when he's out there, then I think he's going to have to go back. To me, he has to stand out as, this guy needs to play right now. You know, you can't just say, oh yeah, there's some things there, because as soon as you get into an NHL lineup, you're going to get lost if you're not clearly the better player. The precedent here is what's worrisome, right? So there, if you look at not number one and number two picks, like I'm taking out all the Bedards and McDavid and Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews, ignore those obvious plug and play guys. The list of guys that get drafted, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, in that whole range that actually play as an 18-year-old is pretty slim. It's a very short list. I mean, like the most recent that I can think of is Zach Benson, who did it a couple of years ago. He was 18 coming out of the WHL and played 71 games for Buffalo. He was pretty good. Cole Sillinger is another one. He was drafted number 12 overall. He played for Columbus. I think there's some precedent for it, but it's not a lot of guys that do it. I mean, it's just not very often. But one that did it that sticks out to me as well is Scott Hartnell under Barry Trotz. He played 72 games as a 18-year-old. He was drafted number 6 overall. He didn't have a great 18-year-old season, but, you know, Scott Hartnell's a great player and ended up being a really great player in the NHL. I think if Brady Martin turned into a Scott Hartnell, but from the center position, there's nothing wrong with that. So the precedent is tough. It's going to be hard to really believe that they're going to do it until it actually happens. But I think that's the only thing that makes me think, man, this center group could be really bad. But if at least you're getting a good, 60, 70, 80 games out of Brady Martin as an 18-year-old, it's probably worth it.
Is there any sort of trade solution that you can come up with, Alex, down the middle?
Yeah, I thought about that too. I don't think so. I mean, it seems like the cost would be so high. You know, the price you have to pay for that is crazy. Now, the only one there's not some. I don't understand why no one really went after Pugh Suter yet. I mean, that guy, he's not some next level guy, but he scored 25 goals last year as a center, and is 29 years old. So like there's some free agent options that I think, sadly enough, I think there's some free agent options that are still better than what they have. Like the Eric Halla signing continues to be strange to me. I just don't really get that. And then by trading away Colton Sissons, you lose it, but you lose even more, but trade options. Yeah. It's like, Pick any team in the NHL and go to them and say, yeah, we'd like to acquire your second line center or your first line center, and just like, be ready to pay the highest price possible, because there's no way. I mean, the teams don't want to give that up. They know how important it is. So I don't even see that as an option unless they get really desperate and have injuries and need to find another option.
Well, Alex, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. It is going to be very interesting to see where they go from here, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
Alex Doherty from the Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Alex had to say to get some more of your thoughts on the Predators. Plus, NBA free agency going crazy as well out there. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Tzatziki's. If you're craving something fresh and flavorful, Tzatziki's got you covered. From juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon, every bite bursting with Mediterranean goodness. And don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressing. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Appreciate Alex Doherty from the Tennessean for being with us in the last segment. Joe did not sound overly positive on the Predators front from the Alex Doherty front.
He made me feel worse about the Nashville Predators.
I mean, you didn't feel great all morning long.
I know. But, I mean, I think he makes, obviously, the decor. I mean, I think they have done some things that are important. I think there was a missing element of physicality. I think that, again, like you said, the perfect signing. I think everybody agree that's a solid signing. But then there is the point he brings up about, like, is he gone too far the way of size and strength? Has he gone too far that way?
We'll see. I mean, I think a lot of that depends on what is Roman Josi. Right.
Like you said earlier, if he's great this year, then you got the guy.
Yeah. If you've got Roman Josi, you'll probably be fine with the current setup if he has a bounce back type of year. If not, then the defense could be in some trouble. Well, I mean, we'll see with Nick Hague and what that looks like, and they're clearly expecting him to play in a higher role than he played in Vegas. So is that a good call? Is that a bad call? We'll find out. Perbix is not going to come in here and set the world on fire. He's not like some great offensive defenseman. He does bring size to the table, and he's got a little bit of offensive pop to him. Not much, but a little bit. I think some of the answer here is what Predators fans are not going to want to hear. But I think they think that there's a chance that Justin Barron is going to turn out to be really good. I believe that. I'm not saying that I necessarily totally agree with that, but I think that they think that. I will say this. Barron, from when he got here last year to the end of the year, got a whole lot better. When he first got here, I was like, this guy can't defend anything. Like, he can skate well, but he can't play defense at all. And then it started to get a little bit better at the end of the year. So, I mean, Barron's a big guy, too. He also skates really well. So you've got some of that. So if they're right on him and he continues to improve to the degree in which I think they're thinking he will, well, then that makes a big difference as well. We'll see whether or not they're – I mean, a lot of this comes down to, are they right or are they wrong, right? And it's similar to last year. We talked when they signed Stamkos, Marchessault, and those two specifically. You can add Shea in there, but really those two specifically. One of the things I said was, well, somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong. Tampa didn't want to go there with Stamkos. Marchessault didn't want to go – or Vegas didn't want to go there with Marchessault. Somebody's going to be right, somebody's going to be wrong. And through 1 year, the Predators are wrong. We'll see if it continues to go that way. Same thing here on defense. Like, they clearly believe Nick Hague can play in a higher role. They clearly think Justin Barron, based on some of the comments they've had about him, is going to continue to be improve, and they think he's got a chance to be really good. Are they right? That's what this is going to boil down to.
Yeah. And as George says on the YouTube chat, the Preds winger is going to have to play with more zing and even more pep.
Mm.
And I say maybe even some vim and vigor as well. There are some elements of this team that are going to have to compensate for the part of the team that we talk about a lot that is just deficient.
Yep. What do you make of the NBA free agency going on? The Milwaukee Bucks are making some headlines. Miles Turner,
that's
coming in. 4 years, $107 million. Damian Lillard has been moved. He's been waived, and we'll see where he ends up. So you got Lillard out in Milwaukee, Miles Turner coming in. There's the whole what is going to happen with Giannis moving forward in Milwaukee. Does he want out? Is he going to be traded at some point? You've had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander sign the Supermax in Oklahoma City, so yeah. That's expected. We knew that was coming, but what do you make of the Miles Turner move going from Indiana to Milwaukee?
That's just a stunner to me. And I know that this year – yeah, obviously Halliburton's going to be out and all that stuff, but and so there was some conversation about like the luxury tax and all that. But I that's an essential piece of their team. And yeah, is this enough? The Bucks also signed Gary Harris, like you said. They waived Lillard. He's got an Achilles, a lot of Achilles. And is this going to be enough to keep Giannis? I mean, it's what it is, I think, right? It's a play to keep him.
Yep.
There's been a lot of speculation about different teams that might get him. Your Miami Heat or one of the teams being mentioned, as a team that might be able to get Giannis, but I don't know. I mean, is that enough? I'm intrigued by Miles Turner in Milwaukee with Giannis. That's intriguing to me.
Yeah, me too. Giannis has been a pretty loyal guy throughout his career, and he's had different opportunities to leave Milwaukee, and he hasn't done it. And he's always kind of talked about that being a place and an opportunity that is special to him and wanting to remain loyal. Now, I think that runs out at some point if you don't feel like they're going in the right direction, which I think is where they've arrived right now, which
yes.
is, all right, I love you guys. I want to be here, but you guys got to show me that we got a chance to win here. So is this going to be enough? To me, it probably wouldn't be. It's just me. But I'm interested to see how he views that. If he reaches the conclusion that it's not enough, I mean, where he ends up is going to be really fascinating because there are a couple different spots where it could be really interesting what he could do. Like, people have talked about San Antonio, right? Like, if Wembanyama's healthy and you've got him and Wembanyama on the same team, like, what could that look like?
Scary.
People have thrown out the idea. I've seen this, and I don't know exactly how they'd make it work, but they do have a ton of picks to make a deal. What about Oklahoma City? Like him going from one small marketplace to another and him playing with SGA. I mean, that would be insane. So there's some intriguing options. If he doesn't end up wanting to stay in Milwaukee, there are some intriguing options for him that are going to be out there.
Yeah. It's – I mean, there's just – you put him with about anyone. Obviously, with Giannis, you have – sometimes you can't space the floor. So you got to, like, to me, he's got to be with multiple shooters. That's what they try to do with Dame. You know, you got to be able to space the floor as much as possible with Giannis on your team. But yeah, like Wemby and what he can do. I mean, it's
a lot of length out there.
Yeah, right. Like, think about that on the other end of the floor. So it's a huge move. I mean, if the Bucks end up paying this, well, I mean, look, if he's elsewhere, then I mean, I guess Miles Turner is still like a piece for you to build on to your next iteration of your team. But obviously, they're giving it a try. I mean, I guess as much as I like the loyalty thing, and I think it'd be cool, and obviously we are a Milwaukee sports station too.
Oh yes,
go Admirals. I would be really intrigued to see Giannis somewhere else. You know, I mean, it's kind of a fun thing. Like, I'm not that excited about Kevin Durant going to Houston. I understand, like, it helps him, but I feel like he's on the downside. I don't think that's going to get them into the serious contender realm. Maybe I'm wrong. But Giannis, wherever he goes, like, that changes the math for that team. Big time.
Yeah, no doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. We'll get back into the Predators and some comments from Barry Trotz to begin the 8 o'clock hour. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I know you all think I don't like the press, but I really do love you.
Because Andrew's got a lot on his plate. I've put a lot on his plate this summer.
Trotz used the word projects with Stilly last week. I don't know what that means.
Just different things in terms of messaging. Everything from projects.
What exactly have you been kind of working on the last month?
Origami?
I drew the duck blue because I've never seen a blue duck before. And to be honest with you, I wanted to see a blue duck.
There's a couple projects I had him do. He's done some projects with his group.
Word teasers?
I don't know.
Rubik's Cube? I gotta know. Preds fans, is Barry Trotz's GMing chapping your butt? Well, I got just the cure. But I'll work on some projects for you.
Are you going to listen to me? Or are you going to listen to these guys?
Does Preparation H help find centermen?
Hey, here's a project. Get me a center.
Well, it's an excellent blue duck. Congratulations. You just passed the first grade.
Oh, Miss Slippy, that's so great.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
Rah! It is that time of the day. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Joseph, I don't even know what to say after that one, so the floor is yours.
It's really not about the rants. It's about the intros.
It really is.
Bringing that to a little Billy Madison. Very nice. He worked on some nice projects, didn't he? That young Billy. Also, I was there. I'm pretty sure I was there for that Saban presser because I think that was after – they beat Michigan State in the playoff in 2015 when he said that. And I was like, did he just seriously say I love you to the media?
By the way, Nick Saban, big Preds fan.
Yeah.
Apparently an observer of Nashville Predators development camp yesterday.
Yeah, so, yeah.
There you go.
How about that? I know. I remember when he was here. He was here for the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. Right? Did he come for all the home games?
He was there, and Barkley was there.
Yeah. And yeah. So there you go. You got your – Preds fan Nick Saban. Quickly, before I get into my rant, I'd just like to go back to Gino, if you're listening. I did listen to the interview with Tony Petitti and Joel Klatt. And let me say, Gino, you made a lot of points. You said it was unfair. I was not hard enough on Tony Petitti or Joel Klatt after listening to the interview, okay? I regret being so nice yesterday, okay? Unbelievable. All right, I've got to go back to the Caitlin Clark well, okay?
Okay.
Because I see people freaking out about Caitlin Clark again. She's not freaking out, but other people love to freak out for her. Caitlin Clark is an all-star starter and a captain, which I think is just based on, like, the overall voting score. There's a fan, media, and player vote in WNBA. Fan vote, she's number one, no surprise.
This is All-Star.
This is All-Star. Sorry, okay. WNBA All-Star. Media vote, she's number three. Player vote, number nine. Oh, my God, they hate her. Oh, my, that you don't touch Caitlin and you better vote for her. Oh, my God, WNBA players. Caitlin Clark has missed half the season, guys.
It's true.
I would argue more that the media voting her third. I mean, I know the fans are going to vote her first, but the media voting her third is overvoting for her. Now, you can nitpick nine if you want. You know, Kelsey.
Nine's probably a little strong.
Okay, but, I mean, she's shooting 29%. She's shooting terribly this year. Like, are we basing it on performance or not? Does that matter?
Sure.
She's averaging six turnovers a game. Does that matter?
Sure.
Okay. She's averaging 8.9 assists per game. She's fantastic. Look, I love Caitlin Clark. She's a great player. She has not been great this year. It's not her fault she's gotten hurt. But if you're not playing, does that not affect voting?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think nine is a problem. I don't at all. Kelsey Mitchell, her teammate, is scoring the same. They're both scoring 18-plus a game. She came in six. And by the way, they just won the stupid – they have got their own in-season, you know. So,
and,
but they won it last night, and Caitlin Clark didn't play.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelsey Mitchell's really freaking good. Other player votes, let's see.
Can we get these in-season cups out of basketball, by the way?
I mean, obviously not. So we're not getting it out. Okay, let's see. Other player votes. So, you know – number one was Alicia Gray, who's incredible. Ian Eskew's number two. You got Skylar Diggins, three. Paige Beckers gets fourth. You know, Mitch, like I said, Mitchell, six. It's not a problem. But people are going to make this into some huge thing because we must protect Caitlin, and you can't touch Caitlin. You got to vote for Caitlin, and Caitlin, Caitlin, Caitlin. She's not crying. Why do you have to cry? End of rant.
Wow. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Good stuff. People complain sometimes that you don't rant in your rants. That was a rant.
I hope Kaharsky was listening, you know? And like I said, I'm going to try Kaharsky's voice under the covers on a loop as a gout cure. To make if it makes your skin crawl, does that help
gout retreat? Here's something that will get you fired up. One texter says, Joe, you've had some really bad takes. But this one takes the cake.
Oh, okay.
She is that league. Other players are jealous of her. And in parentheses, this person says, I hate the WNBA.
Cool. Well, thanks for weighing in on the WNBA. So, again, I ask you, if her numbers are down, again, she's shooting terribly this year. I think that'll change. She's been hurt half the year. I think she's played 9 of 16 games.
I believe that is correct.
She's averaging 6 turnovers a game. Look, when I watch her, she's a blast to watch. She's a great player, but she does she takes too many chances. Yeah, yeah, like if you're talking about winning a championship, like her turnover ratio is 9-6.
Yeah.
You gotta be better than 2-1. Yeah. You have to be. So she's not having a great year, and she hasn't been playing much. You think that she absolutely should be like, I don't care. These players better vote her number one. Why? I mean, some of them are absolutely jealous of her, hate her, whatever, sure. But you still have to also show me someone actually doing harm to her and not bumping her so everybody freaks out. Phil says, Breaking Joe's a huge Angel Reese guy. No, what, do you have to be one or the other? She's a good player.
Where was she on this?
I like the rivalry.
I'm legitimately asking. I have no idea. Where was Angel Reese?
I don't either. Let me look. Let's see here. Okay, Angel Reese. Yeah, the players voted her 12th. Oh, my God! Is that bad or is that good? Let's freak out about that, too. They voted her after Caitlin. Oh, no. The media voted her 12th. The fan vote for Angel Reese was 5th.
Okay.
So I guess that blows up some narratives that no one likes her. I mean, she's a good player, you know. She's not a great player. She just had like a – I think she had like a 27-16-10 game. Like, she's good. Yeah. They have a rivalry. The problem is that they don't play the same position, and Caitlin Clark is a much better player. But, again, like, people are going to freak out about this and make a big deal out about this, and it's not a big deal at all.
Wade from Madison says the biggest news last night on the WNBA game is that Red Panda got injured. I did see that.
Oh, my God. Thank you for bringing that up, William. That is absolutely awful. I hope Red Panda's okay.
Was it serious?
I don't know. It didn't look good.
They helped her off, I guess. I didn't see.
But she does
video.
Like the halftime show at the SEC tournament, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. She does halftime shows everywhere. I mean, it's the greatest halftime show. I like Quick Change, too. For those of you who don't know Red Panda, she's a woman on a unicycle.
Yeah, makes me incredibly nervous.
Oh, it's nerve-wracking as hell. But she flips those glass bowls up, or, you know, china bowls, up and catches them. It's insane. It's amazing. I hope she's okay. That is actually the bigger news, William. You're right.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into some comments from Barry Trotz, the signing of Nick Perbix in free agency. Could anything else be coming for the Nashville Predators? All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.